Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning's gospel lesson follows pretty close after last week's gospel lesson. And last week we heard the very familiar story of Peter's great confession, nailing the true identity of Jesus as revealed to Peter by the Father. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter answered correctly the one question that is truly crucial. Who is Jesus? And he does so, not by his power, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is in agreement with St. Paul's words, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. By the Father's great guidance, Peter got Jesus' identity right. But what does that mean? What does it mean for Jesus to be the Christ? That is the question answered by today's gospel lesson. It is the second part of understanding Jesus, who he is and what he has come to do. Or in other words that may be more familiar to our Lutheran-trained ears, understanding Jesus' person and work. Now, as Matthew records for us, Peter gets the answer wrong to the question, what is the work of the Christ? Now, this is not because the Father and the Spirit have now left Peter, but rather it is because Peter jumps to answer with his own sin-tainted thinking. And one's own thinking as a sinner is corrupted and self-centered. It is easily influenced by the devil himself. It comes as no surprise that Jesus then calls beloved Peter Satan, adversary. Peter is seeking to impede the work of Jesus as the Christ for salvation. That is the work of the devil, and it falls quite naturally in line with the thoughts of man. So what is the work of Jesus as the Christ for salvation? Well, it is as Matthew tells us. It is as what Matthew tells us, what Jesus says it is. That he himself, Jesus, must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the religious leaders. He must be killed, and on the third day be raised from the dead. Now, this is the first time in Matthew's gospel that Jesus makes such a pointed prediction about his coming suffering and death. But these events are the very foundation, the very root of God's plan for salvation. The redemption, the buying back of mankind from sin, from the hands of the evil one, depends fully, completely, and only on Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. And Peter, as well as the other disciples, they don't seem to hear the part about resurrection. The very fact that Jesus says the Christ must suffer and die stops them in their tracks. For these disciples, such thinking about the great and promised Messiah is brand new to their ears. But it should not have been that way. The Old Testament, God's word for the ancestors of those disciples, does include the suffering and death of the Christ. Now, one can find this most clearly in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53, as the great prophet foretells the suffering of God's great servant. Portions of King David's Psalms also lend quite specifically to the passion of the Christ, containing verbatim Jesus' words upon the cross to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Psalms also include the historical fact of nails piercing the hands and feet of Jesus, the Messiah, and testifying to the truth of the Christ's suffering is also the very core of the Old Testament, the sacrificial system itself, where the blood of the Lamb is cast upon the people, signifying God's forgiveness for all of their sins through the dying of an innocent lamb. Such truths from the Old Testament were not readily available, at least in the minds of Jesus' disciples. Now, one could very well say this because the devil was very hard at work throughout the generations. When the temple was destroyed in Israel's history and those Israelites were cast out into exile, the focus shifted away from animal sacrifice as the core of their belief. Restoration of Israel's former glory as a great nation then dominated the thinking of every Jew. And the Jews desired to be once again that great people that they were under the reign of King David and King Solomon. All the Jews of Jesus' day held to some version of this Messiah, a restoration of glory and power to the people of Israel, whether temporally or eternally. So it comes as no surprise that Peter and the other 11 disciples find these words from Jesus quite shocking, that he must suffer and die. Now, in all likelihood, St. Peter was older than Jesus, and perhaps the oldest of the 12. And we don't know that for sure, but go along with that for a moment. Peter knew very well, and quite possibly better than all of the other disciples, what the Messiah was supposed to be. He had seen Jesus, this Jesus, standing before them, do amazing things that no one had done before. And Peter loved the command with which Jesus taught the multitudes and the authority with which he dealt with the religious leaders. He was convinced more and more that Jesus was the Christ, standing before him, doing great things indeed. But Peter had no clue about what was the work of Jesus as that Christ. Now, Jesus had, as we've studied in Matthew just recently, he had fed thousands of fellow Jews with bread, much like God had done for the Israelites in the wilderness. Peter himself watched Jesus walk on the water of the Sea of Galilee while the storm was raging, walking on the water as if it was solid as a rock. And when the same Jesus began to teach Peter that the Christ must suffer and die at the hands of the religious leaders, Peter had to intervene. He had to stop this Jesus from making a grave mistake. For somewhere along the way, in Peter's thinking, this young and amazing rabbi had gotten confused about the work of the Christ. But you know, and I know, that it wasn't Peter, or it wasn't Jesus that was confused, it was Peter. Jesus got it right. Jesus says that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer, die, and rise from the dead. That is God's plan for salvation. And the Greek word that is used there is day, which means it is necessary. It had to be that way. There is no other way for it to be. There is no salvation for man without Jesus suffering and death. There is no forgiveness of sins before God without the shedding of blood. There is no hope of life forever with God without the cross and Jesus on it, bleeding and dying for our sins. It is necessary means exactly that. That is the work that Christ came to do. And he did it. And he did it well. And this truth about the work of Christ blew beloved Peter away. And this truth about Jesus' work as the Christ, it was not well received in Jesus' day, not by those even outside of the disciples. And that lack of reception continues on even to today, as many still scoff at the God who would become one with his creation and die for it. And just as it was a struggle for St. Peter to grasp the immenseness of this truth, it challenges each of us too. We also find it difficult at times to let Christ be Christ and to let God be God. Our sinful desire is that we can do it ourselves. That is, save us from whatever might harm us, present and eternal. We often fail to trust that God's work in Christ is enough, or that it is even right and proper, so much so that we let the things of this life rob us of the peace we have from Jesus. We struggle with wanting the comforts that this life can bring more than the peace that Christ alone has given. Realizing that that struggle is ongoing until we die or until Christ comes again, you and I know the importance of hearing that truth often. We cannot hear too much that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We cannot hear too much that Jesus had to suffer and die for our sins and on the third day be raised. We cannot hear too much that we are saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ. Nor can we hear too much that we are made one with Christ in the waters of baptism, and that we are kept one with Christ through the proclamation of the gospel and the reception of our Lord's body and blood in his precious supper. Who Jesus Christ is and what he has done needs to be always before our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. For who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for our salvation, his person and his work, can never be heard or spoken too much. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the peace that passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.